The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today we celebrate All Saints' Day, one of the seven important festivals of the Christian year, and just in case you're wondering what the seven are, Christmas, Epiphany, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, Trinity, and All Saints. Over the years, St. James has developed a number of traditions around our All Saints celebration. And if you look around here, you will notice that the church is decorated with absolutely spectacular flowers and a multitude of candles. There is also a display of photographs to your right on the peace altar here at the front. They are pictures of St. James members who have died since All Saints Day last year. And along the front of that same altar, the peace altar, is a row of wooden crosses about like this, each with a name on it for representing those people, those same people who are in the pictures. The crosses have been there since the day of each funeral, reminding those of us here to pray for these families who are walking the journey of grief. The families will be here today and are invited to come to the peace altar after receiving communion to pick up their cross and to take it home with them. Over the last several weeks, we have also collected names of loved ones that you would like to have remembered, and their names will be read aloud, in fact, by you during the prayers. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 350 names that were submitted by those present here in church and also those who worship with us online. And then, of course, there's the music. Oh, my goodness. In all of these traditions, we acknowledge that grief and loss are a universal and profound part of human experience. Even someone who is too young to have lost a loved one has no doubt experienced some kind of grief or loss. And I find comfort in the story of Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. Even Jesus, even the Messiah, experienced the same grief that I do at the death of a beloved friend. Which means that my Lord, our Lord, knows intimately what it feels like to grieve. As universal as grief is, it's not something that we easily manage. Grief is not something that we can plan or organize. We can't think our way through it. It's not something we ever get good at, even with experience. Grief hits us like waves of the ocean at unexpected moments, brought on by a sound or a smell or a taste, some memory unearthed, and there it is. We don't just grieve for a few weeks or months and then it's all better. What happens instead is that grief gets woven into the fabric of our journey, and we learn to carry it with us. Which is why the rituals around death and grief are so important. There are rituals that Christians observe immediately after a death, but some religious traditions offer grieving rituals long after that. Some of you will have met Chuck Wolfe. Chuck was the consultant that we hired in 2012 to guide St. James through the fundraising campaign that raised money to replace the roof, reconfigure this space, and make the entire building more accessible. Toward the end of the campaign, Chuck was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he only lived for a few months. Chuck had an enormous impact here, and one of the ways that he did that was by sharing his faith and its customs and asking us about ours. Chuck was Jewish, and his family invited those of us who knew him to participate in one of the Jewish grieving rituals. In Judaism, every year on the anniversary of a loved one's death, there are traditional prayers and practices for remembering that person. It's called Yahrzeit. Judaism is not the only religion with such an observance. I learned a few years ago a Native American tradition when our sister in Christ, Kathy Doctor, died. We had Kathy's funeral here. But on the first anniversary of her death, her husband Laverne arranged for a second service in observance that the first year of mourning was coming to an end. These rituals are so important. They allow us to acknowledge that grief continues. There was a time when people wore black for a year or longer, depending on the person who died. And what that did was to remind the people around them to take care, to give that person space and time, and to adjust our expectations of them. I think in the United States, we've lost a lot of these rituals and practices, and people are left on their own to figure out how to manage grief over time. This celebration today is one of the rituals we have kept. Today, we pause to recognize the grief that each of us holds tenderly in our hearts and minds, however long ago that loss may have been. The passage that we read from Revelation reminds us, in fact, it declares to us that God is personally present for those who grieve. Listen again to these words. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. God is that close, that attentive, that intimately concerned with our experience of grief. Now, there's something else about today's celebration that is important to notice. We call it All Saints Day. In this instance, saint means something very specific. In the early church, the term saint referred to anyone and everyone who belong to the Christian community. All believers, all followers of Jesus were saints. In later centuries, saints came to refer to giants of the faith, people of extraordinary belief and witness. But today, I want us to consider what I am going to call everyday saints. Those who are not famous, but lived ordinary lives, people who are the very ones who shaped your faith and mine. Who are the everyday saints in your life? Who taught you about God? Who showed you what faith looks like? Think back. Who was significant in forming your early life of faith? Right now I'm reading Yolanda Pierce's book, In My Grandmother's House. This book is the topic of this month's discussion hosted by the St. James Racial Justice and Reconciliation Commission. Pierce is professor and dean of Howard University School of Divinity and a scholar of African American religious history. This book is her personal story of growing up in faith, and the story of the women who formed and informed her understanding of God. Her grandmother, was one of those women. Pierce says, and I quote, "In my grandmother's house, the religion was real and tangible. In my grandmother's house, Jesus was a black man. I was an adult before I understood the gift my grandparents had given me, an image of God in flesh who looked like me, had hair like me, and had brown skin like mine. I imagine that this particular image of Jesus was born from the depths of their faith and experience. Black Jesus was a very present help in times of trouble, a close friend whose name was called in our house again and again. As a child, I thought of Jesus as a very close neighbor because calling on Jesus was like calling on Miss Priscilla next door. There was sure to be an immediate physical response." End of quote. Yolanda Pierce learned about Jesus because her grandmother was so close to Jesus. Think back in your own life to the earliest days of dawning faith, whatever age you might have been. Who were the influences? The ones who taught you by showing their own faith in action. Those are the people we celebrate today also. Maybe over lunch today with family, or later in the week over coffee with a friend, share about the saints who shaped your faith. We celebrate them today. And think about this. Who is watching you? Who is learning from you about the love of God? From the way you live your life and say your prayers and talk to Jesus. Thanks be to God for every one of you who are also God's everyday saints. Amen.
wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.